Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a wonderful friend of the show, Ms. Lynn Taylor, also known as the Common Core Diva, who's joining us today to give us an update. It never stops, Lynn. It just seems like it just keeps rolling.
Right.
And, you know, we've talked a lot about how the schools are now, they're like laboratories where they just test out things on kids and the parents are unaware and it affects not only the child, but society. And today we're going to talk about something that I didn't think was involved with schools at all. I thought it was really relegated to the labs and other places, something called CRISPR, which is, it's an acronym, I think, but what it,
right, it is.
Okay, so I know it's about genetic modification and changes in how we have genes express from a healthcare perspective to try to stop disease spreading and to try to heal people. But I wanted to know, one, for listeners who don't know what it is, first, what is CRISPR?
Okay, it stands for clustered, regularly interspersed, short palindromic repeats. So it's a almost lab-grown way to edit the body's natural ability to take genes and to, you know, modify genes that are needed to fight diseases. This is a man-made effort. And it's growing in popularity again. I mean, this has been in the works for a while, but the avenue is, well, this is going to help us make advances not only in healthcare, but in restoring extinct populations of flora and fauna, because after all, you know, we have to make sure that we are making sure that we take care of the earth more so than we are people. Now, the problem with this is that if you're going to go and resurrect animals that are thousands of years old, say, for example, like woolly mammoth or something like that, the particular ecosystem that was needed for that particular animal to survive no longer exists. So where do you think this animal is going to be able not only to live, but then to repopulate? So this is part of the answer they're not giving us.
I mean, what's the point of this exercise? I can't even imagine.
I think if you look at the companies that are behind this, they all come at this with this kind of almost guilt factor that, well, it's our fault we've wrecked the planet, so now it's up to us that we have to you know, restore the planet. Well, you know, if you look at God as the creator, you'll notice he told us to be good stewards of the earth, which meant, you know, taking care of the plants and the animals and that sort of thing. Never said try to mimic my creation of the planet in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Mm-hmm. So this is where we're seeing a lot of parents and education systems going, wait a minute, time out. We're playing God with this. And if we're going to start doing this with animals, are we going to start doing this with people who've passed on?
You know, there seems to be a boundary that's breached, and it's a free-for-all at that point. If you start playing God and creating life from nothing, where does it stop? It's not about AI anymore. It's gone to a different level.
Right. Well, absolutely. But this is part of that. This is part of that shift in science, and it's thinking that, oh, we've shifted from science as a way to understand how God created everything to putting the science as the God, and then the creation as, you know, the thing that needs to be worshipped. And that is such a twisted and distorted view of how the world actually works.
I would have to agree. So, How do they plan to have this unfold in a school system setting? It's so rigid. They do so many things. How do they expect to, you know, and bring this in as part of the system?
Well, right now, if you look at the younger grades, they're using CRISPR as an example of STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And they're going, oh, you can get a CRISPR set in a box. And, oh, goody, you can grow a rock from nothing, or you can edit this potato to be this. Or, you know, so they're trying to spin it around as, oh, look how fun this is, because you're going to learn more when you're having fun, but here's the danger to it. You're going to get a child comfortable with this sort of editing on things that have no business being edited. And then they're going to be okay with it when it comes to the much harder issues like the woolly mammoth or a person or, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And again, it's all being done in the name of we're supposed to carry this eternal guilt, I guess, that, you know, we screwed up the planet. Well, I don't know. Did we really? Or did the companies do it? Because, you know, here's the thing. For years, and I can remember when DDT was the big thing and you had to get it out of the rivers and this, that, and the other. You know, that wasn't because of Joe Blow or you and I as functioning members of society. That was big companies that were doing dirty business, quite frankly. Same thing with the hairspray. You remember, we couldn't use hairspray because we were going to burn a hole in the ozone.
Right.
Well, that wasn't so much about protecting the ozone as it was saying, you can't use this product because you will be responsible for the damage that is caused. So we've seen this guilt factor, especially through the Sustainable Development Goals, continue to grind on. Now that we have the climate change garbage and we have the social justice warriors, we're seeing this become almost a bully pulpit.
You know, you made an interesting statement that I didn't even think about. You know, you think about all of the ills of our society, whether that's industrialization, various chemicals, forever chemicals, plastics, it's actually not the people. It's actually the companies that are creating these products that are toxic, but they're shifting the blame to the consumer. And I don't see anything going after the people who make Roundup or the sprays that are ended up in our water supply and our soil, these toxic waste dumps. Nothing really ever happens to them. And maybe it'd be interesting to clean up the system. Maybe we wouldn't have a lot of these problems, but there's nobody pushing that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting that you bring up Roundup, because there was a multi-million dollar lawsuit that was actually settled against the makers of Roundup. But guess what? They have reformulated it supposedly so that it'll do the same thing, which is kill natural weeds that we need as far as herbal medicines, because we've been told, well, you know, for example, dandelions are always, you know, your worst enemy. No, every part of the dandelion is provided as one of those herbs that was given to plants and herbs that was given to us by God to be a healer. But you know, when you've been told a lie for so many years, what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and probably buy into it. So yeah, Monsanto's still making Roundup. Is it still killing people? I'm not quite so sure. So yet, what good did the lawsuit do if they're going to continue to make it?
That's a great point. And we can only hope that there's a movement in the healthcare system now to clean out things like fluoride and these forever chemicals and these plastics. This is the time to start. I think we need to stop having bows and ribbons and walks and start figuring out what's causing the problems and fix that. It just seems that there's this method to this system that it's about fixing or treating the symptom, but never talking about the cause.
Right, absolutely. And here's, you know, as someone who's survived cancer, I can tell you firsthand, when I was diagnosed, it wasn't about what was best for my body. It was about what drug could they give me that was supposed to fix the problem. Now, here's the thing, and I've seen this circulate on social media. People will sit there and say, you know, oh, well, we have no problem accepting all these supposed medication fixes for things like cancer, but we won't look at what's causing the cancers. Your point exactly that you just made, because if you look at the causes of cancer, 95% of it is environment including what you eat. Mm-hmm. It is not in genetics, but these, again, are lies that we have been told for generations, to the point that the minute someone is diagnosed with some ill like cancer, oh, you have to go get chemo. Oh, you have to go do this. You have to go do that. No, you don't have to. You can choose to if you want to. And I'm not disparaging those who have used it and those treatments have worked. I'm saying for myself, that was not the avenue, because I had done enough research to know in the long run, those would kill me quicker than if I used alternative methods.
I think it's about choice, don't you, Lynn? If you don't know, if you don't know there's a choice, you were savvy enough to do your own research. But from a healthcare perspective, I think people need to have the breadth and length of what's out there, so they can pick what's good for them instead of being shuttled down this pathway of one size fits all. And if you don't want to do it that way, then you're somehow demonized. I don't think that's correct.
Right. Well, you know, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because what have we seen happen in our society, both from our government and from big pharma and big insurance? We're pushed in directions where we don't have a choice. We're also seeing that there are public-private partnerships mm-hmm. that are ramping up to start corralling more and more people to, oh, well, you can't have that conversation about science because that's not real science. Well, it's up to you to decide for yourself, is it real science or is it what is being bought and sold as science? So this is creating a huge divide. And what it's setting up is a divide where someone's going to come in, be it the government or the corporations or a combination of both, and going, wait a minute, you can't have independent thought. You can't have free thinking when it comes to your choices and how you care for your body or what you do for your family. No, because that's misinformation, and you can't have misinformation in your life. But yet, look at the decades of misinformation they have purposely fed us, especially about our healthcare system.
It's been coordinated, right? From the time that the Rockefellers came in and changed our medical education system to...
Well, you know, right.
Right. I mean, there was a much more natural approach back in the day, and it's not.
Well, yeah, he went after the medicine first, and then he went after education the second. And there was a reason why. Because if you're going to corral the masses, what better way to do it than to miseducate? But yet, we're the ones who are guilty of misinformation or disinformation. And if you look at the accepted definition of what those are, it's, well, someone... You know, they thought they had the facts and, well, they didn't look at everything. Or, you know, they got this because so-and-so and such told them. And, well, the so-and-so and such were wrong. Really? You should be able to do your own research and decide, yes, I want this. No, I don't want that. And if it is a combination of Eastern and Western medicine, super. If it's one or the other all the way, super. If your choice is to not take anything at all, that's your choice, and you should be able to stand by it.
I couldn't have said it better. On that note, let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. There's bad news and good news. The bad news is this trend is predicted to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We are committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductible or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. Call 404-591-9100 or visit us at peachtreeentcenter.com. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor. And Lynn, you said just so many important things before the break about honesty. And for me as a scientist, where it's about you have a hypothesis, you go through everything you need to do to prove it. You don't start out with the answer and then do what you need to do to prove that backwards.
Right.
They're using science as a method, or at least it has been used in the last several years, mm-hmm. as it's like a Bible. It's
right.
Trust this. I mean, I can't stand this phrase. Trust the science. When you really can't, you have to know who the scientists are, who's underwriting it. And again, did they come up with we have a conclusion, we're going to do what we need to do, get rid of data that doesn't support it to get the science mm-hmm. behind what we want to have done?
Well, here's another aspect of this. Science is forever changing because our world is forever changing. People want to get on the bandwagon about, oh, there's climate change, oh, the sky is falling. Well, guess what? Since the day one that creation existed, we've had climate change, and it's called weather patterns.
Well, it doesn't mean anything. It changes every minute, doesn't it? Every day.
It absolutely does. But so has science. Because if you go back and you look, the way science was started was it was a way to understand how God created your body as well as the world that you live in. It wasn't until the Renaissance, when humanism was inserted, that someone got the bright idea, oh, well, science has nothing to do with God. When it has everything to do with God, but the point of it is that's when it got separated. And ever since then, it has been this science versus God when it doesn't need to be. So we have a useless battle going on. Mm-hmm. But what better way to continue to provide not only healthcare, but education, because the two go hand in hand. You can't be a healthcare provider if you don't have a proper education. And you and I have discussed this on many shows where you have talked about how you have seen changes in from when you were in medical school to what's going on now. We've talked about how we've seen a shift in education for those who are in those fields. But, this goes back to a question of ethics. And this is one of the things that they're posing with this CRISPR. Well, it's new technology. We don't really know where it's going to go. But, this is going to impact agriculture. It's going to impact our environment. It's going to impact our health. So how can we make sure that this is going to go well? Well, you have to look at how they're defining ethics and how those who are in this are defining it as the practice and examination of our standards for morality, or what is right or wrong.
But there's no God in this, so how do they set the standard of what's right and wrong?
Exactly. That's the point. Ethics is totally different from morals. Morals you can find in any religion. Ethics you can find in any religion. If you go and look up morality or ethics in a concordance to a Bible, you're 9 times out of 10 not going to find anything under those subjects. What you will find are commandments that we were given, like being good stewards over the earth, or taking care of each other, or all these other things. Those were the characteristics. So characteristics are totally different from ethics and morals. And yes, they can be interwoven, but they shouldn't be separated. And that's what we see this kind of science doing, is they want to split a hair to make their point and then have you die on that cross for it.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about morals and ethics from a biblical standpoint. No one's better than anybody else. Everybody's a child of God, and therefore we're here with whatever gifts and talents we were given, and it's our job to use them in a healthy and appropriate way. Where this system is about those who are better than others, how do you make a super person? How do you, tease out those who are special versus those who aren't. And it's artificial to top it off.
Well, absolutely. But you know what this smacks of, don't you?
Well, eugenicists.
Go ahead.
Eugenicist adds, comes to mind.
Well, there's that, but think about all those horrible, horrible experimentations that were done on living people.
Yeah.
Back in certain regimes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this smacks of, only now we're going to do it from a scientific viewpoint. Well, what do you think they were doing then? A scientific viewpoint. They were trying to create a better human.
Oh, yeah, we've gone to another level if you're trying to manipulate someone's genes, though.
Well, and I understand that, but here we've had, in the past, we've had people get upset over the fact that, well, we have test tube babies.
Yeah.
You know, I remember reading about all that. We've had all kinds of arguments about whether we should, you know, should there be abortion, should there not, at what point should it go to, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we're going to open arm accept that we want to resurrect animals and plants that have been extinct for eons, and we're okay with that. This doesn't make sense to me, and it shouldn't make sense to anyone who has a solid head on their shoulders.
I don't know if it's narcissistic in a way that you feel as a scientist you can manipulate what God created,
right,
and not have a consequence. So let's talk about genes for a minute, or the genetic code. They make it seem very simplistic. If you insert something, if you take something out, there's going to be a linear effect, and it won't affect any other part of the genome. We don't know that. We don't know if it affects the next generation or it skips. We have no idea. So it's hubris on a huge level. Just because you may have mapped what's on the genetic, you know, a blueprint, doesn't mean it presents the same way. So your environment can change how genes turn on. What you think can turn on or turn off how genes work. So taking things out and putting them in, and we haven't even talked about transhumanism, right? Or I should say, inserting genes from animals or other creatures into our genome. That's not normal. We don't know what that's going to do.
So, absolutely.
You know, when you talk about things like the Science Buddies organization, it makes me, you know, it sounds so innocuous. It always sounds like, oh, it's just so sweetness and light. But what is that? What's its mission?
Well, its mission is to inspire and educate students of all ages in public schools, in home schools, and any combination thereof with hands-on STEM explorations that will reflect their unique and special interests. By providing high personalized quality education experiences, we drive students to discover, engage, and learn in STEM subjects. Well, let's stop and review something that we've gone over several shows on this subject. Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math was an acronym created by the National Science Foundation at the bequest of the United Nations. And the sole purpose was to introduce this about the time that Common Core rolled out, so that no one would really see that we were coming out with something that was United Nations, and it was supposed to align with the Common Core state standards, which it still does. It's used now in career tech education as well, but it was to usher in ways to make the sustainable development goals so palpable that no one could live without them. And now we're seeing an entire STEM nation being created. But that goes back to a report that was handed to Obama when he became president. It was the PCAST report, the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. And it basically said, we want to create a STEM education for a STEM people, to create a STEM workforce, for a STEM economy, for a STEM community, to create a greater global good.
Okay. I mean, that's a lot of mumbo jumbo, but what they're really talking about sounds like is a technocracy, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is. And, you know, this is the thing, is they'll tell you, oh, this is high quality. This is science authored. Well, great, fine, and wonderful. If you look at the depth of which Common Core and things like STEM go, it's an inch deep. That's not high quality. That is absolutely. And science author, scientist authored. Well, are we looking at a scientist who is a bought and sold scientist? Are we looking at a scientist who has been around the block and knows, hey, this is what real science is. This is what paid for science looks like.
Well, if it's anything like the structure that we currently have, it's bought and paid for. I mean, well, follow absolutely. The money on all of this. It's absolutely. All goes down to same pipeline, right?
Well, right. And here's one of the things that they use to sell the science buddy is the pandemic. Because they'll go in and use this illustration of this group of red blocks didn't arm themselves against the incoming whatever. And this group of blocks over here, that's another color, well, they did. So what are you teaching? Are you teaching someone to go and follow their passion in science, or are you teaching them a conditioned response to when something happens?
Or is this the science version of the, what do you call this thing? Where they use, how can I put it? Everybody from a social standpoint, social engineering, basically. Uh-huh. But this is a science version of it, where it all gets,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's pablum, it's monetized, it's, there's no truth in it. It's just give the response that continues the dialogue in a direction that they wanted to go in. Right. There's no conversation. There's no critical thinking. There's no anybody saying, hey, I have a question. There's no questions to be asked because you'll be somehow removed from the conversation.
Yeah, you can't ask that.
No.
I kind of call it the science police. And the reason I know this is because the National Academies for Sciences, Engineering, and Medicines just released a document that's almost 400 pages long. And it's titled something to the effect of Understanding and Addressing Misinformation in Science.
Oh my
and
God.
When you go through and you look at this particular document, Dr. Elena, you see where it blatantly says, from a government and private standpoint in partnership, we are going to start affecting legislation. We are going to start affecting policy. We are going to start affecting how you consume your media, so that the minute there's any blanket assumption that there's misinformation or disinformation going on is shut down. Now, how are they going to be able to achieve that if they're not constantly watching and listening?
They can't, but, you know, this is becoming more and more a surveillance society. And let's take a break, because I don't want to break your thought in the middle of this, because I see a bigger picture here.
Okay.
And people are coming out and talking about we need censorship. And it sounds innocuous now, but it's not going to be. So let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Sidera Medical Cost Sharing Community provides a path for people to protect their health and their wealth at the same time. It's a perfect blend of personal responsibility and community care, and it's an incredible way to reduce healthcare costs. I highly encourage you to break out of the status quo and look into this as an option. Check it out by visiting Sidera.com/controlyourhealth for more information. That's Sidera, Sidera.com/controlyourhealth.
You're listening to Dr. Elena George, advocate for living in the solution.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We're committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductible or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. Call 404-591-9100 or visit us at peachtreeentcenter.com. www.drelainerGeorge.com. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor. And there's been a coordinated voice I'm finding recently about we need to have control over what's said. We need censorship. And if anybody comes out with something that's counter that, we need the means to shut them down. And they're really trying to make this a legislative grid where it's, I mean, England is a perfect example. You can be arrested there for going against the voice, the common voice of whatever there is, right? So is this whole education system, because we're talking generationally, right? We know, but if these children never learn to be critical thinkers, they're in this system, at some point, they're not going to get any pushback or resistance. And this is just setting up the grid for this to happen. Is that one way that you can think about all of these STEM, you know, movement towards STEM, these changes, watching what the kids saying, you know, basically deciding what path they're going to be on from the time they can basically walk? Is this just setting up this brave new world society?
Well, absolutely. And how many times have we used that example? How many times have we talked about this on our show? And still we have parents who are, you know, getting up every day and their rinse, repeat, and, you know, do the same thing because, well, this is what we've always done and this is what's worked. And we're not thinking about the long-term consequences of this with our children. You know, you're looking at, okay, STEM was rolled out somewhere in the mid-2010s, okay? So we've got a good 10 years. So that means that someone who anywhere along that line, they could have had nothing but this for those 10 mm-hmm. years of education, or they could have had something before this and a little bit of it. It's kind of like the Common Core. You have to understand, well, which students totally escaped it, which students got some of it, and which students got all of it. Doesn't matter because it's marching to the same drum, and that is collectivism. It is showing you that you are no more important than the man in the moon. You as a person, you as an individual, what you think. And, you know, yeah, they'll argue and say, oh, yes, but we know what critical thinking is. No, you really don't. Because if you understood how critical thinking works, you have to go back to the old school method. And there was nothing wrong with this old school method. And that was true critical thinking, deduction of reasoning, debating, things like that. That didn't happen until high school. And why was that? Because it had been proven down through the ages that when certain brain activity levels were met, typically in those teen years, that's when it could be introduced and properly understood. But when you put the cart before the horse, like Common Core does, or this STEM does, you have kindergartners who are being told, oh, yes, this satisfies the critical thinking component. Well, guess what? In kindergarten, first grade, your brain is not developed enough to understand what true deductive reasoning is. You're still trying to learn your letters and your colors and your numbers. Of course, you're not ready for this sort of thing. But when we have put our children on such a trajectory that you have to hurry up to learn so that you can hurry up to go earn and be a cog in the system, what else do you expect?
It's not going to work properly. And there's going to be cognitive dissonance and anxiety and depression, all the things you're seeing from children overwhelmed. And they're not equipped to really even explain it, but they act out and then they get medicated. I mean, it's just a really bad pipeline.
Right, it is. But if you had just waited until they were mature enough to understand what true critical thinking is, you might not have all this issue. But of course, this we have talked about how much this system depends on the children failing, on the children becoming so frustrated that they have to be micromanaged, over-therapized, and then over-medicated. Because why? Because big pharma and big insurance and big tech are making the bucks. They are literally depending on this system to continue to succeed so they can line their bottom dollar. They can line their pockets. Think about it. We've done shows, and I can't remember how many ones ago we did, where the social and emotional learning and all the behavior interventions and all the psychotropic drugs and all the things that went in with all this were set to, by 2027, be in the trillions of dollars profit margin. And we're right on target.
My God. And we forgot one segment that we didn't discuss, and that's the pipeline of school to prison, which is also part of this grid. So they've got something for everybody. If you can't, and none of it's good. And none of it is sustainable in terms of becoming an adult, being self-sufficient, being able to meet adversity and think your way out of it, and as opposed to collapsing.
Right. And as far as the prison to school to pipeline, but whatever it is, the school to prison pipeline, that's been a government insertion, just like there's something known as, you know, racism. Racism from our government is a huge problem. Now, what do I mean by that? Because you're going to have people who are going to listen to this and like, oh, she's so wrong. No, stop and think about it. If you took someone who has a different skin color than you, okay, and you cut their finger, when you see that blood, are you going to see whatever skin color blood they have?
No.
No, you're not going to see it because it doesn't exist. There's one race, and that's the human race. We have different skin colors. That means we come from different ethnic backgrounds. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you have a government that is so sold on continuing to harp on the fact of, well, it's this color versus that color, what do you think is going to happen? It's been bought into. It's been supported. Now, am I saying that there's never been conflict between different skin colors? Of course there have been, but go back and look in the Bible. They were not white. They were not black. They were dark skinned. And there were other people of different colored skins. And there was always conflict. There will always be conflict. The only time there was no conflict across the world were the 3 years Jesus had his ministry. Before then, tons of it. Since then, tons of it. It's not going to go away. What we have to do is divorce ourselves from accepting any of these lies that our government is so busy pumping at us, and start looking at what's going to work for the human race. What's going to help bridge the divide? What's going to help bring us together? Because the more they tear us apart and tear us down and turn us against each other, the more they will succeed in controlling us.
I think you're correct. But from these, I mean, if the whole movement of communitarianism, communism, whatever you want to call it, it's really just making finding the lowest common denominator, really, to control everybody.
Right.
And making this fog that you can't pay attention to what really is going on because they're telling you how you're supposed to think and feel. And from a school standpoint, that social, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this social emotional learning really heightening the emotional response to whatever, whether you're in class and you can't do a topic, or you want to be, you're an artistic person, they're throwing you into the STEM side, something that's something counter to what makes you an individual and makes you tick.
Right. It's counterproductive on purpose. Yeah, of course, because you can't become a good conformist if you're going to be able to do what you want or think like you want. And you know what? I find that just as criminal as saying, let's go out and murder somebody, because you're killing that child's inner spark.
Yeah.
And that's terrible.
I mean, you're an educator. I can imagine, and I've taught people, just to see that light bulb come on when they understand, you know, they got it.
Right.
That is just the most, and I remember feeling it when I finally understood a concept. It was amazing.
Right.
That's not there anymore, somehow.
No, it's not. But yet we're supposed to continue to embrace this shift in education, especially towards STEM, because, oh, we're training for jobs that don't exist. I'm sorry. How can you possibly do that? You cannot possibly properly prepare anyone for something that doesn't exist. It's just like the misnomer behind the Dyson vacuum. It will tell you that it literally spins dust into invisibility because it's matter and it can make it disappear. No, it's impossible to make matter just go away. You cannot do it.
This, somehow we have to break this grid or this spell that people are under. And we've had this conversation about education and homeschooling and these alternative pathways that parents and children can take. And you were very clear, if the curriculum has to be the same, it doesn't matter if you're at home or not, you're still going to be affected by it.
Groups like this Science Buddy, they'll sit there and tell you, oh, well, we're not just for public school students, we're for homeschool students too. If you look at the number of curricula that are available, not just to private schools or public schools or homeschools, it's all coming from the same garbage.
And that's really by design.
Of course it is.
So if you
now look, you do have a few homeschool curricula out there that have decided, no, we're not going to do that. But you know what? A lot of them have gone ahead and sold to larger companies. So you have to really, really get in the weeds to look at what, if you're going to go homeschool, you need to really stop and look who their partners are, who their funders are. Have they sold out their values and beliefs to align to globalism?
That's a great question. Is there something that people can start educating themselves, some pathway that they can start doing proper research, especially as parents? Because it's very tough to be a parent these days, I would say.
Right.
Where can you start? Where would you, because it's not Department of Education we've discussed.
No. I would look to groups like the National Home Education Legal Defense. It's called NHELD for short. It's based out of Connecticut. I am personal friends with the people who founded that, and they are extremely helpful because they believe in homeschooling. They have seen it work without government overreaches, and they are on the forefront of being able to show you, okay, well, here's what this state is doing. Here's how they're, you know, trying to change legislation to be more intrusive about what you teach and how you teach it and so on and so forth. You know, I would look to them, absolutely. I would also look to the, I think it's the National Home Education Research Institute. I think that is correct. That is another privately run organization. I would steer clear of groups like Homeschool Legal Defense Association or HSLDA, because while they'll tell you they want to support homeschooling, they are all for school choice funds. They're all for career tech education or STEM clubs. So yeah, I would steer clear of them. I'd also look at your local homeschool families. You know, if you don't know where they hang out, go hang out at the public library or ask the public librarian, hey, are there any homeschool groups that meet here regularly? That's a good way for you to get plugged in as well. If you don't know where to start, ask someone like me. I've got 23 years of anywhere between preschool to high school.
I mean, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel.
No, absolutely not.
So on that note, let's take our last break and come back.
Sure.
You're living in the solution. Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from a chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation surgery and correction of a deviated septum, as well as turbinate reduction surgery, all which can be done in the office. We use a state-of-the-art nasal telescope with a video camera so you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we'll decide the course of action. Our philosophy is simple, to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. But rest assured, all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. Call 404-591-9100 or visit us at peachtreeentcenter.com. This is Dr. Elena George. I'd like to thank you for listening to Living in the Solution. You're what makes this show great. If you like it, please share it with your friends, subscribe to the podcast, follow me on Twitter at Living in the Solution, and follow me on my website, drelenageorge.com.
You're listening to Dr. Elena George, advocate for Living in the Solution.
Welcome back to Living Solution. Lynn, where can they find your work?
You can find me on my blog. It's www.commonpoordiva.com. If you have questions for me or you would like me to come speak in person or on air, that's info@commonpoordiva.com. You can email me. You can also find me on Twitter, X, whatever they're calling it. It's at Common Core Diva. You can find me on Facebook, Common Core Diva 2023. And the reason why I have that differentiated is because the original page that I had, the Facebook idiots, decided that they didn't like my original page, so they shut it down. So I was like, you know, in your face, here I'm coming again. So...
Hey, where there's a will, there's a way, right?
That's exactly right. Because you have to get the information out to the people. You absolutely do.
I mean, it's one of those things where you just can't do surface anymore. You can't really go online either without knowing who's supporting those sites. Because it seems to me, too, from the standpoint of how the internet works, people have been co-opted and they've been taken out of circulation or they've joined for monetary reasons sometimes, and whoever has the pocketbook has the power. So you can't necessarily always say what you want anymore if you're under the umbrella of something. Wow. I'm all about independence. Nobody runs my show. I'm not interested in kowtowing to anybody because the truth is free and it's for everybody.
Well, it should be free, but here's what we're noticing, especially with this shift to support junk science. You have to somehow pay, either through finances or a pound of flesh. You have to pay to be able to have access. And that just, you know, I was doing a show earlier today and we were talking about that you're somehow going to have a credential enough to prove that you are worthy enough to go find out information or resources. You shouldn't have to prove anything to go seek information.
Interesting. From a healthcare standpoint, that sounds like a gatekeeping, or you know what I mean, or a paywall type of situation. We used to be able to look up articles online. If you knew where to go, you can get them for free. That's gone, where you have to pay for the privilege of accessing.
Now, for those who want to do their own looking into just how far and wide this CRISPR thing has gone. Congress back in 2018 put out a report, Dr. Elena, that talked more about global market and projections and private companies being able to profit. So don't think that the government doesn't know about this. They absolutely do. Back in 2023, Congress also had a paper on invention of biological diversity and how the U.S. needed to not only be involved, but to lead the charge.
But is it really diversity? I mean, that's the question.
I think it depends on whose side you're on. Is it their diversity or is it our understanding of diversity?
Well, you know, everything's changed in terms of what it is and what it means. They're not exactly the same now. Everything has a double meaning, or and if it sounds innocuous, that's when you really need to take a second look at it. Maybe run.
Right.
Because if it sounds cool or it sounds benign, generally it's not these days.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I will tell you that one of the shifts that we're seeing that the government is purporting is this push to have every citizen believe and practice the same thing as far as what's acceptable for education or health care or just how the culture exists. And I think that's a very scary thing. And people need to start looking at how this is happening, because it's coming in nudges. And that was one thing about the almost 400-page paper. It very blatantly laid out how the government, the U.S. government, as well as all these private corporations in partnership with them, were going to start using public and cultural nudges to get us to respond in certain ways.
Well, they've been doing that for a while. You know, these dog whistles.
Well, right. Well, that's not new news, but the shift is we're gonna aim it now at how you practice science and how you believe science and how you talk about science.
I think if anybody's been paying attention over the past 6 or so years, when they start saying believe the science without backing up, and then if there's any question you're somehow against science and you're some sort of Luddite, you're ignorant, that's where people, I think, I hope, are starting to say, I don't care what you think, I'm going to do my own research, and this is not good for me or my family, therefore I withdraw my consent. That we still have the power to do that.
But you saw how quickly the labels were rolled out.
You
saw that, and it was no fun. It absolutely, because it divided, it not only divided certain groups, it tore families apart.
I remember stories of people not being able to go to Christmas or holidays, or they were disinvited, or I can't even imagine having that degree of isolation.
Right.
And this is a psychological operation when it comes to somehow making you feel that because you have a question or because you're not with the herd, there's something wrong with you and you shouldn't even be able to question that.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. If it's not you're dumb and stupid, it's shame and ooh, look, you bad person. No, you're just a person trying to live your life and do what you need to do that's best for you, because what's best for you is not going to be what's best for me. And I'm okay with that.
It's not only, it was like another step, wasn't it? You didn't want to do it, but you're actively trying to hurt me, right? That was
somehow,
like the step
somehow,
too far.
Yeah, somehow the public, is sick because you didn't this
exactly.
And you didn't that.
Like well, you want to kill somebody.
That's the same mindset behind all of this that we're talking about.
In a way, it used human nature in a very toxic way, right? You actively wanted to kill somebody because you wanted to withdraw your consent for something. It didn't bother, it didn't affect anybody, really, when you look at it critically. But the way that it was rolled out, and I mean it went all fronts, from the media to the school system, every message that was coming across was, if you're not with us, you're against us, and you're the worst person in the world. And not only that, you should be removed from the social fabric of our society. I've never heard of any hospital taking away somebody's treatment because they decided not to do something. So they were no transplants, no care. You're just on your own. That's totally unethical. And that was used as a weapon, really, against people. And even though they spoke out, they were still hushed.
Right.
Nobody had the ability to say what you're saying is unethical and it's criminal, really. And you should be, you know, not only ashamed, you should be made to stop doing it. And that didn't exist for quite a while.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, here's the good news. We absolutely can fight back. And, you know, just because these documents are out there and these are the plans that they've made, now that we know that they're out there and we're discussing this, you've got a little bit of a leg up because you have time to counter.
No, first is knowledge and then it's action, right?
So absolutely.
You're not alone. That's the thing, that the isolation made people think that they were the only people to think this. And they're the only people to want this. And because of that, they were some outlier. And human nature is very interesting, isn't it? Where people do want to be part of a social fabric. They don't want to be the outlier. Even unfortunately, when it hurts them, which I'm hoping that comes to an end. Because at this point, it's pretty clear choices that were made didn't serve humanity, honestly. But it certainly didn't serve the individual.
Well, it certainly served the profit-making people who are into this.
For sure.
Yeah.
Follow the money and who stands to gain? Those are the two questions. I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I just said, I tell you what, this is just, it just makes you want to shake your head. And I really, really hope that, you know, since we have been sharing knowledge with people, that they will be hungry for more, so much more, that they decide, you know what, I want to use what these ladies were talking about, and I want to find out more. And once I find out more, then I want to see what I can do in my area to let's start talking with each other so that we can take those actions together. Because every bit of this violates your God-given rights. It also goes after those rights that were supposed to be protected by our federal government. And if you don't know what your civil rights are, if you don't know what your constitutional rights for, how can you properly take action against a corrupt system? You have to know these things.
You do. There's no way around it. And I don't think you can let You can't be led by somebody. I trust that this person has my best interest. That's the worst thing I think you can do, is to not put into action what your rights are. But you're as God-given human rights. Wow. Somebody, these people, whoever they are, whoever's in this system, doesn't work for you. They work for the system, and it's about upholding the status quo by any means necessary.
Well, do remember this. System, government is a system. And systems are not living, breathing creatures. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they possess no love. They possess no hate. They possess no personal feeling whatsoever. Now, the people who serve in the government do possess those feelings. But when they have signed up to work for the system, guess what they have to put aside? But it's gone to the point where it's not going to just those who work in the system. No, this is now being blanketly applied to those of us who are just out here doing our own thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's now, or it's not now or never almost. Yeah. This is your chance to take action, to be your own person, and to be proud of that instead of kowtowing or being silent. And it doesn't mean you need to get out there and get on the street, but make choices that are positive, that serve your family's interest, that serve your interest, and honestly, God, instead of this. But I want to make sure again, Lynn, people know how to reach you.
Okay. If you wish to schedule me to speak in person or online, or just have questions for me, info@commoncorediva.com. That is my email. And then if you wish to read my blog, it's www.commoncorediva.com. And you can find me on Cordiva. You can find me on Facebook, Common Core Diva 2023.
Lynn, thank you again so much for joining me. It's always an education and a call to action for everybody in our sphere. And take this and run with this. That's all I can say.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Elena, and I really hope and pray that the audience who listens to this will get inspired, will get, you know, maybe they'll feel a little bit of burn in their belly or in their backside, and use that to protect your family.
Yeah, it's all on you at this point, I think. Yeah. But, you know, nobody wants more for you than you. That's what you need to come away with this from the show. So once again, thank you, Lynn, for joining me, and thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.